Chapter 8. My stomach growled ferociously as I strode through the narrow, crowded streets of Outer Drakenberg. I ignored its complaints just as I ignored the stabbing pains in my scraped and blistered feet and the aches in my puny human leg muscles. The smell of freshly cooking sausages rose from the open oven of a street vendor and twined around me in savoury temptation as I passed, but I braced myself against it and breathed through my mouth, doing my best to shut off all the sensations from my nose. Another stall owner, with an outdoor oven, a street further on, was selling a strange, twisted form of bread he called pretzels that I could have devoured in a heartbeat, but I then forced myself past with barely a hitch in my stride. When I passed a waffle oven 2 minutes later, I didn't even let out the snarl of desperation that I wanted to rip itself from my throat. If all I had was 5 marks, I would not waste them. I was a fierce, powerful dragon despite my current body problems, and I could control myself, no matter what Mother or Jasper thought. I just wished that all the horses I passed didn't look so delicious. By the time I reached the broader, brighter streets around the first 2 chocolate houses, I was breathing hard from the effort of holding myself back. My teeth were gritted, the better to keep myself from lunging into the street and biting, and strange beads of moisture kept popping up on my forehead and neck. When 3 humans in a row veered out of my way, though, looking visibly worried, I forced myself to stop and take a deep breath. Respectable. I was supposed to look respectable, not frightening. Even the most open-minded chocolatier wouldn't hire an apprentice who looked ready to eat everyone around them, even if that was the literal truth. I can do this. I threw back my shoulders and plastered a wide, human smile on my face. There was only one problem, as I realised a few minutes later. The 3rd chocolate house was nowhere to be found. Beyond all the yellow and white shops that I'd walked past before, I found streets of ornamented grand houses with high, spiked gates like dragon's teeth, and I caught sight of an even grander palace in the distance, but I couldn't have cared less about any of that nonsense. I finally gave up and asked for directions. "You're looking for a chocolate house?" The man I'd stopped looked harried and distracted, his eyes already moving past me towards some final destination. "The chocolate cup is..." "No," I said. I couldn't hide the impatience in my tone, but I stretched my lips even further into my most impressive smile to make up for it. "Not the chocolate cup or Mecca house. I want the 3rd chocolate shop. The hole in the wall." Oh. His gaze finally moved to my face and he blinked, taking a quick step backwards and tugging nervously on his neck knot. Oops, maybe I was showing a few too many teeth in my smile. I relaxed my face muscles and saw his shoulders sag in response. "I know which one you mean," he said, "although I haven't been there myself, obviously." "Obviously?" I stood in silence, holding him in my unblinking gaze as I waited for him to say something useful. The face fur over his eyes lowered, making him look oddly nervous again. His words sped up as his eyes fixed on mine. "It's not in the 1st district, you see. It's about 15 minutes walk from here in the 3rd district, where the jumped-up merchants and the bankers live. No one I know would ever go there." I didn't move or even blink. I was still waiting for the information that I'd asked for. He swallowed visibly. "Your eyes, you know, their colour. Very unusual. Not sure I've ever seen it in a human. He tugged even harder on his neck knot, his face turning pinker and pinker. "For heaven's sake," Silky suddenly slipped into place beside me, appearing seemingly out of nowhere and having a dramatic sigh. "I give up. It's too painful to witness." She waved one dismissive hand at my informant. "Don't worry, sir. I'll take her where she wants to go. You're free." "What?" I swung around to stare at her. "What are you doing here?" I demanded. "I don't need your help, remember?" "I didn't come to help you," Sylvie said as the other human backed away, really away from us both. "I followed because I was curious, obviously. I wasn't planning to even let you see me, but if you don't leave this poor man alone soon, he's going to faint from sheer panic, so I'm taking over out of pity." She grasped my arm. "Trust me, no one knows this city like I do. You're looking for the 3rd district, right?" "That depends," I braced myself, planting my feet firmly on the pavement. "What are you going to ask for in payment?" She chuckled. "No more than you can afford, country girl. This time I'm just looking for information." I narrowed my eyes at her suspiciously, then shrugged. "Fine." I fell into step beside her, turning away from the useless male human without regret. A whishing sigh of relief sounded behind us as we left. Humans. It was as if no one had ever asked him a simple question before. "I would never understand this species." "So," Silky said brightly, as she led me back onto a busy shopping street, "what business do you have at that chocolate house you're looking for? Because you know no one like us would ever be allowed inside." "We'll see about that." I stayed silent, firmly closing my lips. "No answers, eh?" She gave me a mischievous grin. "All right, don't mind making up my own stories to explain it. How about your family had to sneak out of Drakenberg 50 years ago to escape their enemies, but before they left, they buried half of their fabulous treasure in a secret hiding place under that shop. Now you're going back to sneak it out again and become a rich girl with 12 servants. Am I right?" "What kind of fool would ever leave treasure behind them?" I shook my head at her in disgust. "That doesn't make any sense. Even humans wouldn't be stupid enough to abandon their own hordes, would they?" "Not that then," Silky sounded pleased. "Let's see." She led me swiftly down the street, weaving gracefully through the bustling crowd. In that case, maybe you're actually a noblewoman in disguise, and don't you have anything better to do than make up stories about me? I asked. More clothes to sell to country girls, maybe? Oh, I don't spend all day selling clothes, said Silky. That's my brother's job. Dieter likes sitting in one place. I prefer to keep on my feet and see what happens in my city. And you're the most interesting thing that's happened here in a while. She hummed to herself, rocking back and forth on her boot heels as we waited at the street corner for a tangle of carriages to pass. The horses neighed at each other in a fury, and the people shouted in angry counterpoint, but a dangerous-looking smile spread across Silky's face. I know. Maybe you're the first human ever to escape from the fairies' underground kingdom in Elfenwald, and that's why you don't know how anything in this works in this normal world. What? The knot of carriages finally parted, but I didn't move. My mouth dropped open as I glared at my guide, torn between disbelief and smoking outrage. You think I'd ever have anything to do with fairies? Of course, dragons were wary of humans, but we absolutely despised fairies. They might not have been spotted above ground in over 100 years, but my family still told stories about how infuriating they were. Only a few dangerous animals could use magic, but fairies had so much of it, it glowed out of their skin like internal fire. And they were determined to cause mischief, especially for dragons. The only good thing about them, Grandfather had always said, was that now they'd all gone into hiding underground. We didn't have to eat them to get rid of them anymore. Apparently they tasted terrible. But Silky laughed, a bright peal of delight as she looked at my outraged face. Well, that finally got your attention, didn't it? She tugged my arm, pulling me towards the street. If you really want to stop people wondering where you came from, by the way, you might want to think about changing more than your clothes. Who's ever heard of a girl named Adventurin? She shook her head, a glint of mischief in her eyes. I know. How about we call you Eva? That's a nice ordinary name, with no mysteries at all. Just the way you like it, right? Gritting my teeth, I pulled my arm free and stomped across the street, turning the next corner at Silky's direction. Then rocked to a sudden halt as my nose picked up an amazing scent. There! The third district, Silky said cheerfully. We're not far now. The identical yellow and white buildings of the first district were gone, replaced by houses of every colour. Skinny pink buildings stood pressed against bright blue, yellow or green ones, all rising high into the sky with shops spilling out of their bottom floors onto the pavements outside. The chocolate smell was coming from a few doors away, tugging at me like a delicious promise. I didn't see any chocolate, though, and humans dressed every bit as ridiculously here as they had been in the first district. If anything, the men's neck knots were even more elaborate and the women's skirts billowed even wider. And all of the women in dresses had long hair. Why hadn't I noticed that part before? I'd been trying so hard to make myself look respectable with my new clothes, but had I ruined everything by letting my hair be cut? Something very strange happened inside me as I looked from one long-haired woman to another in the street around me. It was as if my dress was growing smaller and tighter with every step. I could barely fit my breath through it anymore. Worse still, something was pulsing hard and fast against my throat, as if a tiny bird had got trapped there and was trying to batter its way out. The chocolate house is just up ahead, Silky told me. Come on, mysterious adventuring from nowhere. They'll never let us in to join the fancy customers, but you might as well make a peek through the window now that we've come all this way. Never let us in? My feet wouldn't shift when I tried to lift them. What was happening to my new body? I rubbed one hand against my chest to try and loosen it back to normal, but my tiny new heart beat so rapidly against my hand, I knew immediately something had gone horribly wrong with it. Do human hearts often go wrong for no reason? What would happen if mine exploded inside me now as I stood only a few doors down from the source of that delicious chocolate smell? I'd never eat any chocolate again. But then I might never taste chocolate again anyway if the guard at this chocolate house took one look at my too short hair and turned me away without a second thought. Then I'd have nowhere to go and no chocolate ever and... Whoosh! I staggered and fell forward, clamping my hands around my knees. I fought to draw a full breath. Adventuring? What's wrong? Silky's voice sounded far away, miles from my malfunctioning body. No, this cannot be happening. I would not let my new body fail me. Not now. I was only a few doors away from all my hopes for the future. Of all the times in my life when I had to be healthy and strong, now was the single most important moment. I had to look and act like a normal, respectable human. I had to. And stay out, bellowed a female voice 3 doors ahead of me. My head shot up. A tall, pale-skinned boy had just come hurtling out of that doorway. The smell of heaven. My stomach sank as I looked at the sight of him. From his elaborate neck knot to his boring dark trousers, he was the most respectable-looking human I'd seen all day, and they'd still thrown him out onto the street. I don't have a chance. But no, this boy had run outside himself, and now he spun back around to shake his fist at the doorway. I'd never come back, even if you begged me. You're the most unreasonable chocolatier in this entire city. You don't care about anything except your stupid rules and... And you know nothing of good chocolate, the voice bellowed back. I should never have hired you. All you care about are appearances, not quality. Ha! The boy jerked his chin up as he smoothed down his green coat. It's no wonder no one important ever comes here with an attitude like that. You'll be closed down within half a year if you're lucky. Less than that when I tell my uncle how you... Oh! He ducked as something came flying through the air after him. "I won't forget this," he yelled as he turned away, protecting his head with both arms. "And neither will my family. No one respectable will come anywhere near you or your stupid hole-in-the-wall shop ever again." A wordless roar of rage billowed out of the doorway and followed after him as he ran away and disappeared around the corner. "Phew," Silky let out a low whistle. "Maybe we should wait a minute or two before we look through those windows, eh? Or try a different chocolate house." "Are you joking?" I shook my head as I straightened. My heartbeat had slowed down again. I could breathe. And my chest felt just fine. In fact, I felt excellent. This is absolutely perfect. I might not know what had caused my human body to go wild for a few minutes, but I knew exactly the sort of sound that had just come from inside that shop. And I couldn't wait to meet whoever had just made it. "You're delirious," Silky stared at me. "No wonder you almost fainted. Why don't I take you back to the market?" "No. I can find you some food, talk about where you really come from, and..." "No." I unfolded my scale cloth and pulled out the single silver coin that I had left. "Thank you for your help," I told her, holding out the money. "Maybe I will see you again sometime after all." "I can't take that," she held her hands flat in front of her, looking horrified as she backed away from my outstretched hand. "It's all you have left, remember? And anyway, it's too much. All I did was show you the way to a wild woman's chocolate house." For the first time ever, I touched a human on purpose, folding Silky's long brown fingers securely over the coin. "Trust me," I told her. "That's exactly what I was looking for." The closer I came to the open front door, the more incredible it smelt. The chocolate heart read the sign over the entrance. Once I'd said goodbye to Silky, I had to use my bony human elbows to force my way past all the other whispering onlookers, but I ignored their complaints and glowering looks. After all, none of them seemed to want to go into the shop, despite the delectable smells wafting out from it, so it only made sense for them to make way for serious visitors. Not that there were many in the chocolate heart itself. As I stepped through the front door, breathing in the incredible scent of pure chocolate, I saw empty table after empty table in the small, flame-coloured front room. The only customers I spotted were sitting clustered around three gold-coloured tables near the back, watching with obvious horror as two humans argued in the centre of the room, their arms waving wildly and their voices raising louder and louder with every word. The taller one, a man with dark brown skin who looked as if he was in physical pain, said, "You can't just go around behaving like..." "Who's poisoning my chocolate?" bellowed the woman. She was short and stocky and golden-skinned, and I recognised her voice immediately. "You should never have been allowed in my kitchen in the first place." "He was not poisoning the chocolate," the man spun round to wave frantically as the remaining customers, two of whom had already got to their feet and started to sidle nervously towards the door. "It was only a figure of speech. Please do not pass it on. You know what a perfectionist our great chocolatier is. She only means..." "He was poisoning it," snarled the woman. "What else would you call it when he was deliberately ruining the flavour of my chocolate by using substandard ingredients? He was too lazy to grate the fresh nutmeg, so..." "He's the Lord Mayor's nephew," said the man. He clenched his fingers in his short, wiry hair and tugged at it in what looked like desperation. "Not everything is about chocolate. Can't you understand that?" "Ha!" the woman snorted and crossed her big arms. "Maybe in those fancy first district shops it's not, but in my chocolate house..." "Even if you had to dismiss him, could you not have just tried to be polite for once in your life?" the man demanded, as the remaining customers sneaked past me out of the front door. "Couldn't you have recommended him to a chef at one of the local restaurants to get rid of him without insult, or..." "He should feel lucky I didn't toss him into my oven," the woman roared as the final few customers fled the shop. She spun around and pointed one accusing finger at the doorway where I stood. "I can tell you right now, if he ever dares show his face here again..." She altered her own face, crunching into a furious scowl as her gaze finally landed on me. "And what are you looking at?" What was I looking at? The first time since my transformation, my human lips stretched into a sincere smile all on their own. The smell of heavenly chocolate rose all around me. The walls blazed with colour, a gorgeous hot blend of orange and crimson. The woman before me had a roar that had made any dragon proud. And I'd just found a chocolate house that was really all about the chocolate. "I'm your new apprentice," I told her. I knew exactly what I was looking at. My new home.